the top five on the Rokan Show.
Five.
Let's go.
Four, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top five at five on the Rokan Show with Anna Tavlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
All right. You say so. Here we go. Checking in at
number five.
Former President, Vice President Joe Biden making the news today.
A little faux pas there. A little slip. Slip.
Yeah, no.
Former president.
Although he thinks he's going to run again. He's going to be 120.
Yeah. I thought that's why he didn't run this time. He was
I think his son had just passed away and stuff like that.
Anyway,
well, he was on Capitol Hill today as he was there for a celebration for the swearing in of Senator Doug Jones from Alabama. Roy Moore was probably driving around mean mugging everybody, right? Like around the block. Like when you don't get invited to the dance and you're going to drive in front of the dance, you're like, "You a bunch of losers. Y'all a bunch of losers.
I protest."
He's still not giving up. He still says he won, even though the guy's been sworn in.
I hope that like in 20 years they dig up a time capsule and they're like, "Roy Moore did win. Oh, he was right." He's like, "I told you."
All right, now. He commented on the, this is interesting because this happened right at the time that the news was breaking that Steve Bannon, the former chief strategist to Donald Trump, was quoted in this book saying a bunch of things about the Trump kids that were not particularly nice, and also about the Trump election and the way that Trump's running the railroad now, and he's giving in to the progressives and to the forward looking people,
liberal forces in the White House.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All those liberal forces that he surrounded himself with,
and the president's already reacted to him. We'll get to that in just a second, but they were like, "Hey, Joe Biden, did you hear what just happened with Steve Bannon?"
That's a hell of a statement coming from Bannon.
Oh, yeah, okay.
then he was asked about Trump's tweet to Kim Jong-un about that big, beautiful, shiny, throbbing red button of his.
I just hope he doesn't touch it.
Yep.
You know, and I just remember in my lifetime as a voter, so I was always like, there's not enough sexual innuendo in my politics. And I feel like that has been addressed. Like, I feel like the president now has recognized that voters out there wanted more sexual innuendo when talking about foreign policy, and he came through. So kudos to the president.
Yeah, kudos to the president. God bless you, Mr. President, for bringing double entendre into the White House.
I was like, come on, Obama, where's the double entendre? Come on, G-Dub.
I just, for those who think that Donald Trump can do no wrong, I just want you to imagine Barack Obama saying the same thing. Just imagine what that would be like. Mm. How would you react to that? Pardon me while I whip this out.
I just hope he doesn't touch it.
All right. Here we go.
Number four.
All right. The White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders today was asked whether the president is he taunting North Korea? Is he taunting Kim Jong-un?
I don't think that it's taunting to stand up for the people of this country. I think what's dangerous is to ignore the continued threats. If the previous administration had done anything and dealt with North Korea, dealt with Iran, instead of sitting by and doing nothing, we wouldn't have to clean up their mess now.
I don't even know what to say to that. That I heard that earlier, and I was like, "Wow, she can really spin a yarn. She can go from one way like that's the president's really. What do you think about this treasonous thing? Well, treason. The root word of treason is son. Son. When you think of son, you think of George W. Bush. It was George W. Bush's fault for. And you're like for the meeting and right. Well, wow. All you can do is clap.
It's kind of interesting. I mean, at some point you're gonna have to. And this, I was critical of Barack Obama when he first came to office for the first year. He was constantly invoking George W. Bush. Yeah. He was doing. It wasn't quite like this, but it was a lot of the same kind of. It was like, well, you know, we inherited a lot of problems. Yeah, it's a year in, pal. But it's time for you now to. This is not just about.
Yeah.
I mean, you could go back and blame Eisenhower if you want.
But the question was about taunting. Are you taunting the dictator of North Korea? And the answer was, well, if a previous administration had done this, we wouldn't have to taunt him on Twitter. What? That's the roundabout way of getting to the point of saying.
See, here's the problem. That hasn't stopped. Yeah. That would be true if they had stopped Kim Jong-un from anything.
Right.
Kim Jong-un has actually accelerated and been more successful in his program as it's nearing its completion, its objective. He's in the last year, he basically is far closer to this reality than he was a year ago. So, and he started the taunting a year ago. It was exactly a year ago today that he said, this is not going to happen.
I think it's all a master strategy. I will give a pro to President Trump in the way that he continues to taunt and get in the middle of this story for the Koreas. And I think they both came together and said, let's just get rid of this guy. Can we just talk, the two of us? And now he's going to go, I told you that's what I was doing the whole time.
Well,
I was
playing
crazy so they would be real, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know that old saw.
Yeah.
I was being crazy and taunting and bullying and making everything unsettled, you know, so you guys would come together.
Yes, I remember Missy Elliott made a big hit out of that in 2004. I'm moving on now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, so here's Sarah Sanders on Steve Bannon.
Is this a direct response to Steve Bannon calling the president's son unpatriotic and saying that he committed treason?
I think there are a number of factors that played in. I would certainly think that going after the president's son in an absolutely outrageous and unprecedented way is probably not the best way to curry favor with anybody.
Okay, so if you're
unprecedented and outrageous.
If you haven't heard the story yet today, Steve Bannon is quoted as saying that that Don Jr. should not have taken that meeting with the Russians, that it was treasonous to do that, and he should have called the FBI immediately.
Which is not a new sentiment. It's just strange coming from Steve Bannon.
Right.
So for Sarah Sanders to say it was unprecedented in this outrageous attack on the kids as if it was, you know, someone making a joke about Barron Trump. That's crazy.
Right.
That's not the right way to use that.
And then... Oh, and this gets kind of interesting. You saw that yesterday on Twitter, part of the president's like, I don't have any meetings scheduled for today. I'm sitting here at the White House. What am I going to do? I should just tweet some stuff and change the world. It was an epic day of tweeting. There's no other way of describing it. Epic day of tweeting. He also happened to mention that he's going to do these media awards on Monday at 5 o'clock.
Right, they're right.
And so the press now, and I thought this is, you know, there's so much going on in the world today between the real stuff. The president, that's a stunt, right? It's a baby DJ stunt.
It's a kicker.
To go out and do the media awards. Because on Monday at 5, he's going to announce the winners of, you know, this week or this month's media award, you know, the fake news awards or whatever it is.
It should have been between Christmas and New Year's.
So they were asking him questions like, this is real, like this, well, is he going to be there? Are we going to be there? Is there going
to
be, you know,
to dress up?
What is this? Is it going to be like the Emmys? What's it going to be like?
I certainly don't want to spoil anything, but my guess is that there are quite a few individuals that could be up for those awards. And beyond that, I think we'll have to see what happens on Monday.
Will the press corps be in the room for that?
We'll certainly keep you posted. It might be hard for him to present trophies if you guys aren't there, but I don't know. We'll have to wait and see what happens on Monday.
This is why I appreciate Sarah Huckabee Sanders, because when that tweet went out, she must stop and not breathe for like 40 seconds when she thinks, oh my God, we have to answer the question. He's making this up off the top of his head, right? And now she's going to have to go out and act like it's policy.
Well, you hope that's the case. You hate that that any time was spent in a conference room. Ideas for 2018, guys. You know, and there's General Kelly and Sarah. What if we did awards, guys? What if fake news awards? Yeah, draw that up.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Great idea.
The problem is... What if, I mean, there's a lot of calamity can happen between now and Monday, right? You got, there's undoubtedly going to be another launch by Kim Jong-un between now and then. There's going to be a, there's God knows what other shoe is going to drop. Now that the Bannon stuff, now that this book has come out and people are starting to talk publicly about the Russia investigation, there was some talk that Mueller was going to release another indictment of
the
someone.
Is, will there be an appetite for this kind of thing?
I think there's so much serious stuff can happen in Trump world and in Washington and in the United States and in the world in general between now and then. If he tries to get up and do like a baby DJ stunt, which, where he's up there like,
baby,
you know,
DJ.
here's and now to Jim Acosta, biggest fake liar, pants and fire award. I had this minted. This cost me.
I'm looking forward to it.
$40,000 to make this from the Cartier at the bottom of the Trump Tower.
I wonder what time the awards are going to be.
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock. Right in time for the top five at five.
Yeah, right about 5:20. Hold on. There we go. Yeah, baby DJ awards. Donald Trump going to give away his fake news awards coming up at 5:20.
We got a six pack of Pepsi for anyone listening right now.
Grip me off.
What was that?
All right. We will get to your 3-year, 2-in-1. But first, Violetta's got the WGN traffic trouble spots at 5:20.
Exactly. Thank you, Radio DJ Man.
Top 5-5 continues right here. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Justin Kaufman in today.
Yeah.
For Anna, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
All right, here we go. We're all the way up to
number three.
All right, Caitlyn Jenner and Piers Morgan. I'd like to see those two get together, maybe. Wouldn't it be nice to see those two find love? Anyway, the point is this, that Caitlyn Jenner was on Piers Morgan's show. He's got a UK show now.
Called Life Stories.
Life Stories. Like where he discusses, I suppose, cricket matches, right?
Yeah.
Did you see what Upswich did with West Hampton?
Life Stories as opposed to any other kind of story? Like, but those are the only stories we know, right?
Better than Death Stories,
death
I suppose.
Stories, which are still Life Stories.
It's going to air tomorrow, but now he asked her about, you know, this whole transition thing, and she thought it was kind of disrespectful, and it went a little something like this.
How does your physique compare now to what it was like then? Obviously, certain areas we know.
Well, I was 6'2". Yeah, I was 6'2". See, you made a comment there, and that's why you would get in trouble. Okay? You just said, oh, certain areas.
Right.
That, to a trans person, is disrespectful.
Is it really? Why?
Yeah. Because you don't make a joke about that.
Why not?
Because it's not funny. It's life.
I don't understand that.
What area is he talking about?
I guess you don't talk about somebody's boobs.
Your chest, yeah.
Yeah.
But those are a fact good. That area is what specifically changes.
Yeah.
Right?
I think, and is that true? And by the way, is he speaking for all trans people? Are all trans people upset about that? Because I'd imagine if a person transitioning from man to woman, who ended up, you know, getting the enhancement surgery and all of that. Anybody I've ever known who've had enhancement surgery, all they want to do all day long is talk about their boobs.
I don't know.
That has been my experience.
I'm still upset. I am a Kardashian fan.
Yeah.
I love the show on E! And I'm upset that they kind of wrote him out, or her out. Caitlyn Jenner does not show up on the show anymore.
Well, I think that's an issue just between the family, not so much that they were.
Okay, well,
remember when Caitlyn's show was going to be the next great reality show?
They produced that show, it didn't go well, and then and there's an issue, you know, between the family and Caitlyn Jenner. But I just, as a fan, I'd like to see.
Yeah, I'm just surprised to hear Justin's a Kardashian fan. That's
I don't
a
know
shocker
what it is, man.
It's good, right?
I'm in. Yeah, it's a good show.
Thank you.
I know a lot of people get mad about it. My dad gets so mad.
Yeah, so do I, because it's just horrible, horrible television.
It's actually good television. Yeah. It's bad culture.
It's bad everything.
Yeah, because I feel like I relate to them.
Oh, God. Me too.
Yeah, they're just like you.
Yeah. I think
they dumped Caitlyn Jenner because Kanye can't deal with it.
Kanye was the most accepting
of it. I was
going
to say, Kanye would be the one that
yes. Yeah, I know. That's what he said. That's what I was. I watched the Caitlyn one.
He doesn't understand
Listen,
it.
I watched the Caitlyn one, and all Kanye did was show up to show off his new shoes. And they made a whole thing. This must be the most important television of all time.
He shows up in his sweats.
Because this is about transition and about understanding and accepting this lifestyle. And then in the middle of it, and remember they sold it like that, and he did the sit-down interview, right, with Diane Sawyer and the whole thing. And then in the middle of it is an infomercial for Kanye's shoes. And you're like,
That is the Kardashians in a nutshell. There's way too much. We think we're being sneaky infomercial stuff, and it's not sneaky. It's everyone sees it. But once you adjust to that and know what's coming, you're fine.
There's more. Do we have more of the Piers Morgan? Here's more.
And it's part of my life, and it's a very serious part of my life.
Right, but can't life be funny?
And I don't take it, and I take that very seriously. Mm. And so out of respect to myself and the community, it's not something that you joke about.
Okay.
It's something, as I said before, these are serious stuff. People die over this issue. Mm. It's not a joke.
It's genuinely educational.
Yes, and
it is.
That's the way. I wanted this to go.
It is a complex issue.
Good way to give up there. Okay, I lose. Okay. Yeah. You're right. Yeah, it's a very important issue. Did they do? What did they do to your junk? All right. Here we go.
Number two.
And last night's Jimmy Kimmel Live, Jimmy talked to Ari Lewandowski Jr. about the season premiere of The Bachelor. Now, he's going to be the bat. This is the, you know, that's the very famous racing family, right?
Mm-hmm.
Ari Lewandowski.
Yeah, right.
And now the kid, right? And
I'm just a race car driver looking for love.
Yeah.
Aren't we all?
Just an average guy. An average guy. Yeah. I was working, you know, in the family business.
I just drive real fast cars. I'm looking to settle down.
I will say, though, I mean, it was an amazing experience, obviously.
Well, sure, have to say it was an amazing experience. But, that's part of the, like, Bachelor law.
I know. I did fall in love, and I told
you. Oh, you did fall in love?
Yeah.
Okay. With one of the women on the show?
Two women.
With two of the women on the show.
Two of them on the show.
So you have a threesome going. That's exciting. Wouldn't that be something?
I don't think that's how that went.
That's a show I do not watch. And do not.
Too low, too lowbrow for
you. I don't understand that one. I have a hard time on.
The Kardashians
are
cool,
but
not The Bachelor.
But The Bachelor, I can't get into. It's so vapid.
Oh, it's just gross.
Number one.
Last night, Anderson Cooper. Oh, Cooper, as I've called him now. He was on the Late Show and weighed in on CNN's widely talked about New Year's Eve special. Stephen Colbert praised Cooper and his co-host Andy Cohen and wished they didn't cut away from them as much as they did. The Late Show host then pivoted to the eyebrow-raising portions of CNN's New Year's Eve special in Denver, Colorado, where there was smoking of the dope.
Do you still have a contact high from Randy Kaye?
Yeah, you know, I mean, first of all, it's legal in Colorado. She was just
no one said it was
grown adults.
No one says it was,
and she did not smoke. Obviously, she was just in the
second
environment.
Hand.
Whatever.
Second hand. Yes.
She ended up at a paint party where I guess this pot bus ultimately ended up at a paint party where, for some reason, I don't know. I guess people who have been riding around getting stoned all night want to end up painting in like day glow colors. So they ended up at a paint party.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
Sure. They buried the lead.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The whole thing surprised me as much as anybody else, I got to tell you.
I watched that. I watched the CNN broadcast, and Andy Cohen was crazy, and Anderson Cooper looked like his face was frozen because it was really cold.
Super
out.
Cold, yeah.
But it was doing something to his face that was not normal. Like there's one thing to be cold, but then there was another thing. I don't know if it's like like. I don't know what's happening what you have to do to be on national television, but the freezing was doing something.
Are you saying his Botox was freezing in his forehead?
I don't know what he puts in. I mean, I'm not up on
filler.
The latest,
his filler tightened.
His filler stuff. His makeup
got
or whatever,
hard.
But it just was like, yeah. His
You're
whole
about
face.
To talk about contouring. You totally are a Kardashian fan.
Yeah, see?
That is something right there. That's very interesting.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, well, we wish... Are they an item, Anderson and...
No, they do a show. I didn't know this, but they do a show. They tour the country and do a show where they just do kind of like stand-up. They sit around, do interviews, and they joke, and they're on tour. He and Andy Cohen. Performers.
I thought I read that. Somewhere that they were that they started dating.
I don't know if that's the case because he has he talked about it in this. I watched the interview last night. Anderson Cooper's boyfriend is French, and they were in France for the holidays, so I don't think it was Andy Cohen. But they are a duo. They're like a vaudeville duo.
Huh.
And they go around.
I think they make a very cute couple. I don't know about the rest
of
you people.
It's working. Yeah. So there you go. They got chemistry.
Yeah.
It's like the Roe and Justin show. It's a chemistry.
Easy there, pal.
You know.
All right. Excuse me. Now you just made it dirty.
You went there. I was just saying friends.
I'm very sensitive about that. Like I am about my body enhancements. Like Caitlyn Jenner.
I was saying it as friends. Let's just come here.
Don't touch me. All right, here is Judy Pilak with the WGN News.